In the beginning, St. John tells us in his Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The eternal Word who comes from the Father, the fullness of truth, the fullness of light, the fullness of salvation, the beginning and the end. There was a virgin in the town of Nazareth in Galilee, betrothed to a carpenter named Joseph. The angel Gabriel appeared to this virgin, telling her that she was to become the mother of the Messiah, the Son of God. The Word of God made flesh would come into the world for our salvation. She consented and told Gabriel, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." Joseph, on the other hand, did not understand this and was willing to allow her to be released, that whoever the father of this child would be could take Mary as his wife. But then Gabriel appeared to him and said, "Have no fear, Joseph, in taking Mary as your wife. For the son to be born of her will be called holy, the Son of God. And you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he was called Jesus. In Aramaic, his name, Yeshua, derives from Joshua, which means God saves. Before the Hebrew people could be led into the promised land that God had mentioned to Moses, Moses had died, and it was Joshua who would lead the people of God from slavery, from exile, from wandering into that promised land. And so it is that Yeshua, Jesus, would lead us from this land of exile, this land of slavery, this land of darkness and sin, into the presence of the Father. Of this, St. Paul would say that God bestowed upon him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is Lord. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, my brothers and sisters, tells us that all of us, all Christians, all of us who bear the name of Jesus Christ by baptism, called into his body, the Church, by God himself, by the example of our lives and the witness of our words, whoever we are, wherever we find ourselves, all of us have an obligation to make the Word become flesh. We have received the Word in the Sacred Scriptures. We received the Word made flesh in the Eucharist, that we can be transformed and become the living presence of Christ. That you and I have that obligation to manifest this new person that we've become by the grace of baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit, by whom we've been strengthened, especially through the grace of confirmation. As the Apostle said in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, there is no other name by which we are saved in heaven or on earth. Others may tell us things about that. Others may try to prohibit us from speaking the name of Jesus, but as the Apostle said, we must obey God rather than men. I don't care who the president is. I don't care who the governor is. I don't care what king or queen ever says anything. If any human law transgresses the law of God, our allegiance is to Christ first. Human beings live and die, they perish and disappear. Christ alone is eternal. And as Christ himself says, whoever is not with me is against me. Quite clear. We must obey God rather than men. We are witnesses of these things, you and I. We must give testimony by what we say and by what we do. Our words, our actions, everything about us must speak of Jesus Christ, in whom we live and who lives in us. That we give ourselves completely to the will of the Father, to continue the work of Christ by the power of his Spirit in living in that truth that he gave, the way that he gave us, the life that he gave us. As Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me, and he has sent us to be his witnesses. God saves. God saves. Whether one is Muslim or Jew, whether one is Hindu or a non-believer, or whether one is Christian or not, all people are saved, if they are saved, by the passion, the death, the resurrection, the merits of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He alone came to save us from our sins. He came to save us from doubt. He came to save us from hatred. He came to save us from our weaknesses, our unbelief, and our division. We all know that term, that somebody can raise hell. Yes, somebody can. When they live apart from Christ, that's exactly what happens. A person will raise hell and bring hell to earth by their sins, sowing seeds of doubt and hatred. In their weaknesses, they sow the seeds of unbelief and division, and hell is unleashed. But then again, we can also do the opposite. We can bring down heaven. Just as the Word became flesh and came down among us, Christ can still live in us and through us and make this world the antechamber, the prior chamber, if you would, to heaven, by the love that we have for God, our obedience to him, and our love for one another. Instead of sin, we bring grace. Instead of doubt, we bring light and truth. Instead of hatred, we bring love. Instead of weakness, we bring strength and compassion. Instead of unbelief, we bring belief. Instead of division, we bring unity. I know that sometimes in this world we're going to experience good times and bad times. We experience prosperity and poverty, health or illness, but in all these things, we thank God who has chosen us to continue bringing the name of his Son. In all things, it is Christ who carries us through. As the psalm says, I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. You have saved me from sin and damnation. I live in you. Therefore, I extol you, O Lord. You drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit. Sing praise to God, you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Give thanks to his holy name. We may cry out with the saints in eternity, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing. To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, honor, glory and might forever and ever. Amen. In the Gospel, Jesus is there calling fishermen. We think of the fish, we think of the early symbol of Christianity. The Greek word for fish, ichthos, we can use as an acronym for Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. He has called us to be fishers of men. In ancient times, the Greek scientists of their own day determined that there were 153 species of fish in the waters. That number wasn't chosen at random. 153 species of fish in the water. And what does Christ tell us? Go out to all nations and preach everything, teach everything that I have commanded you. Baptize all nations in the name of the Trinity, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go out and catch all fish. Do we deserve this honor? No, we do not. But we have been chosen for it. And we can thank God that we've received the fullness of the gospel. We've received the fullness of what Christ gives to the church, the fullness of the sacraments, the fullness of truth to bring to all nations, to gather all human beings into the body of Christ. Jesus asks us, as he asked Peter, insert your own name, do you love me? Remember that Peter denied Christ three times after Christ was arrested before his crucifixion? But he asks us the same thing. No matter how many times we might deny him, he asks us, do you love me? May we say with St. Peter, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And be not self-willed, but to seek God's will, to imitate Christ, to live in him, let him live and be seen in you. that we can bear his name and fulfill the commandment to follow him today and all the days of our lives.